InvestigativePost.org in partnership with ProPublica and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism this week putting together a series of articles taking a look at jobs numbers across New York State and how they associate with economic development efforts. With us this morning to talk a little bit more about it, InvestigativePost.org editor Jim Heaney. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jay.
So it's part five of this series this morning, taking a look at jobs in New York State and some of these numbers related to the economic development efforts. Jim, give us some of the notable numbers that you've come across throughout your research here.
What we attempted to do was take a look at how effective subsidies, state and local economic development subsidies, are in creating jobs. And what we found was, under Andrew Cuomo, since he took office, very anemic job growth in upstate. Let me bounce just a couple of numbers off you. During the 6 years since Cuomo took office in 2011, job growth nationally, 11%. Job growth in New York State as a whole, 9.6%. But that's driven largely by very big job growth in downstate.
Okay.
And very anemic growth upstate. Our rate is 2.7% over 6 years, which is to say it's one quarter of the national average. Moreover, we found that we looked at the 12 largest metropolitan areas in upstate New York, and we found that in four of them, they actually lost jobs over the last 6 years. And none of them enjoyed job growth at the national average. A couple came close, I think Albany being most noteworthy. Buffalo in particular, Buffalo Niagara job growth was 4.7%, which is somewhere between a third and a half the national average. And I think that's noteworthy for a couple of reasons.
Right.
In particular, you know, the governor and some local politicians have been making proclamations for several years now that Buffalo has rebounded. The governor's gone so far as to call Buffalo's economic revival a national success story, quote unquote. And when your job growth is 4.7%, you know who else's job growth over the last 4 years was last six years was 4.7% or thereabouts? The state of Mississippi.
Wow.
We're doing as good as the state of Mississippi as a region, and as an upstate region, we're doing substantially worse. Matter of fact, if upstate was a standalone state, our job growth over the last 4 years is fourth worst in the country. That's hardly the success story that the governor and others would have us believe.
Well, let's take those numbers then and compare them to how much has been spent, because once again, back to, as you mentioned, Governor Cuomo, who has been proclaiming this such a huge success, the state has been spending extensively on upstate economic development.
Yeah, by the governor's accounting, upstate alone is $25 billion over the last 6 years. So I can tell you, Jay, that statewide, both state and local governments' economic development subsidies last fiscal year totaled $8.6 billion. That's a huge chunk of change. And I think it really, you know, and I think these job numbers, you know, it really begs the question, what's going on here? Why are we getting such little return for our money?
It seems like there's effort going on a state level and on a local level to try to attract these companies. Why isn't the model working?
First of all, government is not the driver of economic activity. The private sector is, the market is. And upstate New York, including Buffalo, is not a particularly easy place to do business. You've got declining population across upstate, and as one economist pointed out to me, most businesses rely on their local market. And when your local market's shrinking, that makes it pretty tough to prosper. So you've got that. You've got continuing difficulties in the manufacturing sector, which has been the foundation of the upstate economy, including Western New York, for decades.
Right.
And finally, New York State as a whole has lost almost 100,000 state and local government jobs over the last 6 years. Now, you could argue that both ways. You could say, well, that's a good thing because it's less pressure on taxpayers. On the other hand, it also amounts to 98,000 good-paying middle-class jobs, be they teachers or cops or planners or whatever, jobs that no longer exist. So, you know, when you net out the losses against the gains, that's something else that I found. Maybe the most disturbing thing I found was what kind of jobs are being created. Of that 2.7% increase across upstate, what kind of jobs are we creating? Well, 88% of those jobs come from low-wage sectors. Matter of fact, the industry that registered the largest job gains in upstate New York since Andrew Cuomo took office, restaurants and bars.
Mm.
Now, that's not a recipe for a healthy economy when you're swapping, you know, when your growth comes in things like waitresses, retail sales clerks, and, you know, kind of low-wage jobs. But that's what's happening. And it's happening, you know, to some degree across the country. But it's particularly pronounced here in part because we're getting rid of, you know, a lot of good-paying government jobs. And as the Buffalo News reported, I think on Sunday, the Buffalo area in particular is actually losing high-tech jobs, which is happening almost nowhere in the country. So the kind of the areas that are growing, the good-paying jobs that are growing elsewhere in the country, isn't really happening here. And again, this is in stark contrast with all these really bold, brazen, and false claims that the local economy is doing really well. It's doing better than it used to, but it's still not doing particularly well.
We most certainly hear those claims when the governor does come to town for a groundbreaking ceremony or something along those lines. What are his economic development officials, what are they saying about this type of information, what you're showing us in terms of jobs numbers?
Well, you know, as is the norm for the Cuomo administration, they're not talking. Empire State Development, we tried over and over again to get them to respond to, you know, all the stories that we were working on, and they just didn't want to play ball. They provided the data early on under the FOI law, as they were required to, but they have not been willing to engage us in any kind of interviews. I think it's worth noting, you know, we talked about why isn't it working. Well, part of the reason it's not working is because of the upstate economy and the dynamics. But the other reason is state policy. The governor has dramatically changed state economic development policy, and a couple of the key programs have been total disasters. I mean, you've got this model that was exported out of Albany, whereby the state assumes the risk of financing, building and equipping major facilities on behalf of companies. You've seen it here with Solar City. There's an attempt to do something in Rochester, in Dunkirk, in Utica, in Albany. You know, it's resulted in most of those projects still on the drawing board, and the architect, Elaine Carlieros, and others under federal and state indictment for corruption. So Cuomo's biggest initiative has been a total bust. Then he did Startup New York, which was another big initiative, and he's kind of pulled back on that because it cost a lot of money in advertising, and it created very few jobs. And the jobs that they did create are associated with companies that don't have to pay state taxes for 10 years. So Cuomo's big initiatives, for the most part, have fallen flat on their face. And when you combine that with the tough dynamics of the upstate marketplace to begin with, I think that really goes a long way toward explaining why we're seeing the kind of poor job growth that we're seeing.
And then finally, and this goes maybe just a little bit inside the level of reporting here, Jim, but I know Charlotte Keith, of course, we've had her on Press Pass, and I know that she's been spending a lot of time sifting through state documents, looking at these types of things, and you are in partnership with ProPublica and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism on this as well. But what level of digging and how difficult was it to come up with the types of numbers that you've been able to access here?
Well, a lot of the numbers that we've talked about in this interview are numbers that we've gathered through working with a fiscal policy institute out of Albany and their economists there, a lot of job numbers, and reports that we've dug up that have been done by either the comptroller or various watchdog groups. The balance of the series, the final 3 days of the series, was focused on this database that we built. We built a database of nearly 16,000 economic development deals 2011 through 2014. And the reporters, went through that, found what they found. I'll tell you that one of the things that we found that was maybe most telling was the kind of some of the analysis that I really hoped we would have been able to do, we weren't able to do because the state records are, the state doesn't do a very smart job of tracking deals, and that's really part of our final series that's publishing today, is you'd think with all the money that the state and local governments are spending in the name of economic development, they would keep meticulous records that would allow them to identify good deals and bad deals, effective programs and ineffective programs. The record keeping is all over the place. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. The analysis, we're seeing very little evidence that the state or local governments are doing anything to really analyze the data to make sure that taxpayers are getting a good return on their investment. So that's one of the things that is within control of government, to make sure that they are making smart use of taxpayer dollars. And right now, if I had to summarize the actions of state and local government in this regard, it's kind of like, we don't know nothing, we don't want to know nothing.
Mm. Wow. Well, this is really some enlightening information for sure. Part five of your series, taking a look at upstate job numbers and economic development efforts, can be found at investigativepost.org today. Jim Heaney of Investigative Post, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.